What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron, go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button, get every episode for free, right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Democratic Representative Jeff Baby Jesus Jackson struck a breezy tone as he talked about the State of the Union speech while sitting in the kitchen where he films several of his TikTok videos. By the way, that's one of the things you don't ever say you're breezy. I mean, I guess this writer, Shania Shelton from CNN, she calls him breezy. He's just so adorable. Like baby Jesus. Casualness and relatability that Jackson has resonated with TikTok users and led to the congressman gaining a significant following of more than 2 million followers over the past nearly 3 years. Right. Well, do you remember what first put him on the national radar? Do you remember? Snowstorm. He was a state legislator, a backbencher, no power, and he was up in Raleigh, and they got snowed in, and he went to the legislative session, and he sent out a tweet storm back in the days. I'm not trying to dead name Twitter here, but they used to call them tweet storms. Now they call them threads or something. But he went on this multi-tweet thread making up stuff. Remember? He's like, oh, because I'm here in the legislative chamber alone, I'm going to do this. And, you know, Medicaid for everybody, Medicare for all. And now we're going to fund all the schools. And now we're going to give all the teachers raises. I mean, just like, it was just one tweet after the other of like this laundry list of leftist ideas. And everybody was stuck at home during a snowstorm. And they start reading these tweets and all of the lefties are like, oh my gosh, this is so amazing. And then that launched him. And then he got onto the TikTok and he's doing the little videos and stuff. And then things kind of went sideways for baby Jesus. By the way, they call him that. His Democratic colleagues gave him that name. Because he's like touted as the second coming, or as the first coming, I guess it would be. But he's touted as like the Son of God, but he hasn't actually done anything at that point because he's just the baby Jesus, right? He's just, that's all. He's just kind of arrived, you know, in fulfillment of the scriptures. But he hasn't, right? He hasn't done anything yet. He hasn't done any of the miracles yet, right? He just can't, he just happened to fulfill the prophecies of, anyway, the congressman was among the 352 members who voted in favor of legislation that would or could lead to a nationwide ban of TikTok, which, as you might imagine, has gotten a lot of progressives on TikTok very upset with their TikTok savior. So he has amassed 36 million likes on this app. I guess that's a total. I don't know. I do not use TikTok because I figure, why would I want to get on the radar of the Communist Chinese Party? But that's just me. I mean, your mileage may vary on that. If you would like to identify yourself to the commies and give them a whole bunch of personal information that they can use against you, totally your call, not mine. So anyway, I guess they count up all of your likes total on the TikTok. And so he has like 36 million likes. Since the passage of the bill in the House, TikTok users, though, have flooded the comments section in his recent video. They are not happy. Okay, so here, let me play this audio. This is the first audio. So when he voted for the bill, okay, which is not a ban on TikTok per se, it is saying that ByteDance, the parent company of TikTok, has to divest. It has to spin off. It has to sell off TikTok because it's a Communist Party company, right? So like, You're connected to the government of a foreign adversary. You're collecting all of this data. You are manipulating the algorithms, right? You're pushing information, you're withholding certain information, you're a propaganda platform for a foreign adversary. Much like we would not allow the Soviet Union to be running, you know, a network news station in the 80s, right? So that was the argument for it. And I went over all of this. We did this topic last week. So he voted for it. He voted to force the company to divest of TikTok. And that got his users very upset. And here is how he explained himself to his users after his vote.
I don't think TikTok is going to be banned. There was a bill to ban TikTok last year, but it didn't pass. It didn't even get a vote. TikTok may be sold to another company, but it'll continue to operate. The bill that just passed the House was about telling TikTok they have to sell to another company. It hasn't passed the Senate, and I don't know if it will. If it does, TikTok will be sold for billions of dollars and will continue to operate. Okay, but why? Why tell them they have to sell? The bottom line is there's a serious concern that the Chinese government can influence what you see on your For You page. They can tweak the algorithm in ways that may be helpful to them and harmful to us.
No.
It looks like they've done this around certain political subjects, and they have the potential to do much more. There is also a concern about them having access to your data, but frankly, that applies to all social media companies. They are all sucking up your data. But what those other social media companies don't have is an adversarial government that can influence the algorithm to manipulate the content you're shown in ways that will help them politically.
And by adversarial government, it means a foreign government, not the U.S. government. That might be adversarial to you and your positions on horse paste, for example. But if it's a foreign entity that has identical positions, then that's the problem.
That's a difference, and it's a big one. TikTok is owned by a company based in China, and China has a national security law that gives its intelligence services a lot of power. So if those services show up at the door of TikTok and say, hey, you have to change the algorithm for American users in these specific ways, TikTok has to comply. The effect could be subtle, but persistent. We got a big example of how that power could be used last week, and it wasn't subtle. A huge pop-up notification validated everyone's concerns. It didn't mention anything about the actual intent of the bill, which is to force a sale and allow TikTok to continue operating. It just mischaracterized the bill and then told everyone to take political action based on that mischaracterization.
Right, so in case you weren't aware, TikTok put a message up on their app that when you opened up the app and it said, Congress is trying to ban us, take action now. So they gave misinformation and then inspired and did a call to action to their audience, to their users, based on the misinformation. So if you and as Jackson is saying, and he is absolutely correct here, that if you thought that TikTok would not engage in this kind of behavior, you were wrong, because they absolutely did. During the debate about engaging in this behavior.
I'm amazed someone thought this was a good idea, but it proved the concern isn't hypothetical, it's real.
Right.
They will misinform people on a huge scale and then use that to manipulate political behavior.
Right.
Letting that power stay in the hands of an adversarial government, which China definitely is inviting them to use that power. I know a lot of you have seen some members of Congress be deeply uninformed about this because they don't use TikTok and they don't care. But I do use it, and I think we can solve this problem and keep marching on. And the way we're going to solve it is the same way we solved it last time, because we've confronted this issue before. So that's the latest, and I'll keep you posted.
Right, make them sell. So TikTok users not happy with Jeff Jackson over this. Over his support for the legislation. They then flooded his video criticizing him for the vote. They said they were going to unfollow him, and he did. He lost followers. His numbers have gone down. I saw one estimate somewhere around 200,000 people have ceased to follow him. And then, of course, in the comments section, the most popular comments are blaming AIPAC. American Israeli Political Action Committee, AIPAC, the Jews. They're saying he's bought off by the Jews because he's talking to who? Who's his audience? He's a Democrat congressman. So to his base, anything that they don't like must be the Jews. Right, but yeah, I'm sure There's not a larger problem inside the Democrat Party going on here, people. Nothing to be alarmed about at all. By the way, Jeff Jackson caved. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. So Congressman Jeff Jackson, Democrat from TikTok, has caved to the comment section of his TikTok account. He came out and posted a video talking about why he voted for the bill to force TikTok to be sold off from its parent company because it's run by the Chinese Communist Party, basically. And a lot of people got very mad at him because they believe, obviously, because TikTok told them that this is going to be a ban on TikTok when that's not actually what the bill would do. And again, not going over any of the pros and cons of the bill itself. I did that last week. But the point here is simply that the people who were misinformed by TikTok by design then lobbied their lawmakers as TikTok told them to do, right? Thereby proving the very concern that people are being manipulated with misinformation. And by the way, it is different when the communists do it. If it's our government doing it, and it's about like Hunter Biden's laptop, that's totally different. So, Jeff Jackson posts the video. He starts getting dragged in the comment section. He then deletes that video off of TikTok, but he allows it to stay on Twitter. I don't know why. It was still up on Twitter. I watched it and I recorded it. And here's the audio.
I apologize.
Oh my God.
I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom. And that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours.
Okay. Come on, man. First off, ew. Secondly, like, not to quote, you know, the philosopher Krusty the Clown, but show some dignity. Hey, hey. Right? I mean, come on. What? I apologize. I have this image of him, you know, kneeling down. And he's got like the whip, you know, and he's like self-flagellating. And he's just smacking his back with the whips. And then he tries to make this, I'm one of you. You know what it reminds me of? The Steve Buscemi clip that then became a meme, right? Where Steve Buscemi, the actor, right, who's probably at this point in his, you know, 50s or 60s, but he's always looked like he's in his 50s or 60s. And he's dressed like a high school kid. He's got like the cap on backwards, and he's got like a t-shirt that says like student or something. And he walks up to these high schoolers, obviously, you know, some middle-aged, late-aged narc. And he's like, greetings, fellow students. You know, like that's what I'm getting. That's the vibe I'm getting from Jeff Jackson here. Like, that's why I'm getting roasted in the comment section. Har, 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 har. I'm waiting on him to pull out like a no cap or sus. Seriously. Yeah.
I apologize. I did not handle this situation well from top to bottom. And that is why I have been completely roasted on this app over the last 48 hours. And I get it. If I were in your shoes, I would probably feel the same way.
Wait, what? Why? Why would you feel the same way? Why would I? Wait, you would feel like the Jews have bought you off too? Just because because you took a position on a bill, and then you would automatically assume that the Jews bought you. It's interesting. Because my mind doesn't go there. But what do I know?
Someone who used this app to build a following and then appears to have voted against it, and I would be upset. And I would feel like I deserved more of an explanation. So here goes. I like this app. I've been able to reach a lot of people and hear directly from them, and it's been great. I'm also in Congress, and I've been a part of some briefings about this app that were genuinely alarming. When I was reading the bill, the part I agreed with was the part that tries to force a sale, because I figured this would just be a better app if we didn't have to worry about the stuff that comes with it being potentially controlled by an adversarial government. The part I didn't like was the part that threatens a ban. Half the country is on this app. It has become a force for good in the lives of millions of people. So I weighed those two things, and the reason I voted for it was because I genuinely believe the chance of a ban is practically zero for a lot of reasons, financial, political, geopolitical. I just don't think there's any real chance of a ban.
See, so what is this argument a response to? It's a response to TikTok posting that message telling everybody that this is a ban. And now go lobby your lawmakers. And they went after Jeff Jackson. Part of the problem with having such a large following on TikTok is that when it's weaponized against you, everybody knows exactly who to go to, right?
I still believe that, but maybe I got that balance wrong. On the one hand, I have information about this app that isn't public. On the other, the language of the bill was going to upset millions of people. My thinking was I could reconcile those two things by just making a video that said, hey, here's the situation. And that was a total disaster. I really overestimated my ability to do that in a really hot moment when millions of people were laser focused on this. Some of you have said, I must have been bought by somebody.
Yeah.
Well, that is exactly why I don't take any corporate PAC money. Not from TikTok, not from Meta, not from any corporation. That doesn't change the fact that I screwed this up. I did. I apologize.
How?
And I will keep you posted.
That was it. So how? How did you screw it up? By simply stating why you were voting for the bill. You said it very clearly. I don't think this is a ban. They're doing some crazy stuff with your data. Commie party, blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't... Apologizing, you have nothing to apologize for. He has nothing to apologize for. All right, do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at carolinareadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Let me see here. I just saw some... Yeah, okay. Because I just saw we were talking about this TikTok ban, and I just saw... a write-up and a video clip, and I'm not sure on how awesome of a soundbite it's going to be, but this is Representative Gallagher, so I guess that's what Mike Gallagher, I think, is his name. And he was on Face the Nation, and he is describing the malign influence that TikTok wields over its users. And he says, look at the pop-up notification that it forced on millions of users, which resulted in kids calling lawmakers to tell them, don't ban my TikTok. That's what happened last week or whenever it was. That's what happened. That's what whipped up the outrage mob against Jeff Jackson. And that's what got him to cave as well. All of the backlash that TikTok, aka the Communist Party of China, was able to unleash on American lawmakers. Here's Congressman Gallagher.
and TikTok's own behavior in the last month. Look at the pop-up notification they forced on millions of users that resulted in kids calling with school bells in the background saying, you know, if you don't rescind this bill, I'm going to kill myself. That's just a taste of how this app could be weaponized. Imagine a more consequential vote going forward about authorizing force to defend Taiwan or altering permanent normal trade relations status with China. That's the risk we're trying to guard against.
So think about that now. You've got kids. Now, whether or not those kids are actually suicidal or not, right? I don't know. I don't probably believe that's the case. They probably just said it because kids exaggerate. Kids lie. They know, you know, that these are the things that you can say to make adults, you know, snap to and do what you want. But what you have now is a real world example in real time of Beijing having a certain, as Sonny Wright calls it, a certain preferred policy. And when that was threatened, TikTok then unleashes hordes of American children to threaten to kill themselves if Beijing doesn't get its way. What do you think happens if Trump confronts China on trade? Right, this is the problem. This is the problem. The weaponization of these platforms in the hands of a foreign adversary that has interests that are in direct conflict with American interests. So Jeff Jackson, congressman from North Carolina, by the way, here's my concern. Is that Jeff Jackson, he's not going to be in Congress much longer, okay? They did the redistricting maps, and as he said, I'm toast. So he's out. He's not going to win his seats. Knowing he's not going to win his seat, based on the drawing of the lines, he ran for and won the Democrat nomination for North Carolina Attorney General. He is running against Dan Bishop. By the way, Dan Bishop voted against this bill. Because Dan Bishop's view on this bill is rooted in a concern that it's going to be used by Democrats, by bureaucrats, by the, quote, deep state, in order to deplatform Americans. So basically, he's got a similar position regarding the American government misusing it and the Chinese government misusing it, the platform or the law. So he doesn't want to give the American government, let alone a single president, more control over censorship of social media platforms and determining what is fake news and what is not. Because as we are, like today, the Supreme Court heard these arguments on this very matter as to whether the social media platforms got pressured by the Biden administration in an unconstitutional manner to throttle and censor stories, which of course they did. The Hunter Biden laptop is the prime example of it. Of course they did. We have the evidence that they did. Right? It was from Matt Taibbi and Michael Schellenberger and Barry Weiss, the Twitter files that... Sorry, did not mean to completely terrify the producer who was not aware. Because John Moore has not been doing the show when the original release of the Twitter files occurred. Right. So that's good though. It lets you know your heart still works because you get the.
Thank you.
If you don't work in radio or TV, probably, but definitely radio. If you don't work in radio, you don't know what that feeling is like unless you live it, which is where you think all is well. You're just kind of drifting along on the, you know, just the calm seas. And then somebody says something like the Twitter files. And that freaks you out. You're like, oh my God, what is this music firing? Because he didn't know, right, because he wasn't here with the original launch of the branding campaign for the Twitter files. I never did anything with it either. I feel like it was a kind of a wasted campaign. Yeah. Oh, well. Gary says, it sounds like Congressman Jeff Jackson is saying TikTok acts like the Democrat Party and just spreads misinformation on things like voter ID or anything else. Well, yeah, that's kind of the problem I've got here, is that Jeff Jackson wants to be the attorney general, the top cop in North Carolina. And he just caved to commenters on TikTok. This guy does not need to be in charge of prosecutorial decisions. If this is how you're going to behave, right? When you come out and you're like, this is my view on the bill. And by the way, it doesn't sound like he changed his view on the bill. All he did in that second video was to say that he apologized because basically I didn't read the room right. Please. If you didn't understand that you're talking like to a bunch of self-absorbed narcissists on TikTok that are like 14 years old and about to run the world, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like, that's the platform. And the communists, sorry. Also the communists. But still, you caved, and they start accusing you of doing it because you got sold out to the Jewish people, to Israel. Right, this is the mental derangement, and you caved. So, no, this is disqualifying. Disqualifying to be North Carolina Attorney General. Maybe some other position that's out there you could do, like go back to state lawmaker status or something. Like, you could be one of, you know, a body of 100, and that's fine. But no, you don't get to be the top cop. You don't get to be, you know, focusing on the law enforcement of the state of North Carolina. I don't think if this is the way you're going to behave when a bunch of, you know, rowdy preteens come at you in the comments section. Come on, man. To quote Joe Biden. All right. So I mentioned this one earlier, so I got to pay it off. Rich Lowry at National Review. Headline, Fannie Willis is the resistance. We have seen her like before. We should know Fannie Willis by now. In her desperately flawed case against Donald Trump, in her sense of umbrage when caught engaging in flagrantly unprofessional conduct, in her dishonesty, and in her willingness to smear her critics, the district attorney of Fulton County, Georgia, is a perfect representative of the resistance. We have seen similar figures come and go across the past 8 years of warfare over Donald Trump. They are typically current or former law enforcement or intelligence officials. That is true. Right? There's like an archetype. Law enforcement or intelligence officials. And they've got this belief that they are so right and so righteous, right? I'm doing this thing to save the democracy. Or, as Peter Strzok said, no, we won't let it happen. We won't let that happen. And then when caught and asked about the text message with Lisa Page that he was stupping, having an illegal affair, well, it was against their code. It's not really illegal, but it was against, you know, like the rules inside the FBI. Anyway, and when she's like, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid Donald Trump is going to win. And we won't let that happen. And when asked about, hey, what did you mean by we won't let that happen? Could it be the whole Russian collusion hoax, the Steele dossier, all of that stuff? Could it have been related to that? All those lies you were pushing? No, no, no. That's not the insurance policy he was talking about. The insurance policy he was talking about was what? What did he say? The voters. Yeah, no. That is not what he was talking about. Only a moron would believe that. All right, back to Fannie Willis. They often end up disgracing themselves in the process, although not usually as spectacularly as Fannie has. Her case against Trump is a classic resistance operation with the same DNA as almost all the investigations and indictments running through the Russia hoax to the J6 case. The common thread is the stretching of investigative and prosecutorial powers to the breaking point or beyond the breaking point, all on the assumption that whatever the facts, whatever the rules, whatever the law, Trump is guilty, or at the very least, he deserves what he gets. Even if you can't show that he's guilty, we just know it. And even if he really isn't guilty, he is innocent of the thing we're accusing him of, it doesn't matter because he freaking deserves it anyway. Right? Willis used Georgia's RICO statute to portray Trump and his supporters as some sort of a criminal enterprise. But his post-election pressure campaign was not actually a crime. There's no crime that they violated. Now, you could say it was shameful, he shouldn't have done it, it was blowing up standards and norms and all of that. You can make all of those arguments if you would like. That does not mean it violated the law. At the hearing, when she took the stand, remember? She was angry, and she was angry because she got caught. She exposed herself, and I agree with this assessment, as a thoroughly unimpressive hack who should not be anywhere near public power. And when she was pressed on the consequential question of when her relationship with Nathan Wade began, because that was the key in the case, when did the relationship begin? She simply lied. That was it. And then, right, her first instinct when the affair became public was first to play the race card, right? She went to the church. She said anybody that's criticizing her and Nathan Wade, that they're doing it because they're white and she's black and Nathan Wade is black. They're coming after us because we're black. That was the first thing she did. Then on the stand, she lies about when it started. Everybody in that courtroom knew. Everybody knew when the relationship started. They had witnesses that said it. Oh, but you couldn't prove it. Why? Because, she paid everything back in cash. Convenient. Almost as if she was trying to hide the crime. See, the standards don't apply to the people who insist they are applying the standards. That's the only standard here, that the standards don't apply to the people who insist that they're applying the standards. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.